Hello, I'm Ben Dodson, and with my good friend Dr. John Wordsworth, today we'll be discussing Torchlight 2, an award-winning dungeon crawler-style RPG. It's currently available on Windows, Mac, and Linux, if you're so inclined, and has cross-platform multiplayer along with Steam Cloud, Steam Trading Cards, and Steam Workshop for mods. There is no controller support, unfortunately, because there's a quite complex keyboard layout, which we'll come to later, and it's currently available for £15 on Steam, although I very kindly got it for free last year as a birthday present from you. Thank you very much, John.
You're more than welcome.
I don't know if I'd pay £15 for it, but we'll come to that. what are we playing on? I'm using an iMac. It's a 5K iMac. I think I'm running it at 1440p, though I couldn't check. It didn't seem to have any resolution settings on Mac, so I'm not sure what's up with that. What are you running it on, John?
I'm running it on my beast of a gaming machine, which is also 1440p.
Very nice. Well, why don't we start with an overview of the game? I'll let you describe it.
Sure thing. So Torchlight 2 takes place in a kind of typical-ish fantasy setting, I guess. I mean, it's got its own quirks and nuances, but it's fairly typical in terms of fantasy worlds. And an alchemist from the first game, which is actually a playable character, I believe it's the same guy, has gone evil and started to corrupt the world. So you spend your 10 to 15, 20 hour game chasing him down, turning away all the things he's corrupted, and I assume at the end getting to fight him.
We've played for about 13 hours now.
Yeah, I think we're at just 12 and a half or so. Yeah, so
pretty sure we're close to finishing it. I mean, I've had no idea at all what the story has been. Which is probably one of the problems I have with this game, is that it's been sort of like a mindless click fest, which is awesome fun, and we get to chat while we're doing it, but it doesn't require a lot of thought, and I've kind of glossed over the story. So most of the time I'm just following little stars on the map as to where to go next, what to do, paying absolutely no attention to what's going on. So like the alchemist, I'm like, I don't know, could be anyone.
I guess I've read the most of the main quest text boxes. It's not a particularly engrossing, like, ins and outs, thick of it plot. It's just, alchemists have turned things evil, you turn them good. Alchemists have turned some more things evil, you turn them good.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I mean, we're doing it as a co-op, and we're focusing on the co-op stuff in this podcast.
Yeah.
But I think if I was playing it single player, I'd pay a lot more attention to it, because I'd be reading it and stuff. But with the two of us, I tend to be chatting while we're playing it more often than not. We don't sort of concentrate on the game itself, because it's quite doesn't require much thought, really.
Yeah, and I think maybe if you are targeting a co-op group, you need to be a bit more in your face with the plot.
Yeah,
like Forced is very simple. It's kind of, this is the plot in 15 seconds. Bam,
and it's not, and it's, you can't skip it either. Like with this, I just click the big green tick at the bottom of the load of text. Just go, follow the star.
But,
tell us about the classes and stuff.
Yeah, in traditional dungeon crawling style, there are four different classes. There's the Outlander, who is basically the gunslinger. The Ember Mage, obviously every dungeon crawler needs a mage. Berserker, who is the melee character who gets up close and personal. And then the Engineer, who is the guy with, I guess, more utilities to kind of help balance out a group. So you can drop turrets and things. I haven't played the Engineer, so. I guess they're kind of, each one comes with their own kind of a skill tree. It's called more like a block of skills, but there are an awful lot of skills.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's far too many.
It's kind of hard to differentiate necessarily between them, so I haven't actually picked that many of them. I've got mostly the low level ones at a high rank instead of any of the higher level ones, which I think is one of the flaws. There's a big block of, like, a massive selection of skills, and I don't want a million buttons at the bottom of my screen to switch between, so I don't want to unlock new ones at a low level when I've got old ones at a high level. So it's and we were most of the way through the game and we've only unlocked a small percentage of what's available, so I guess it's intended for multiple run-throughs to get all the abilities.
But with the classes, you've also got equipment that is unique to each class as well, so quite often you will find you're picking up a load of stuff that you can't use. I often pick up stuff that is for a mage, like a wand or something, and it's like, just sell that.
And I guess if you're playing a four-player game where you've got one of each class, you could actually hand those things around, and we could probably do that better. We don't really put you get so much loot. But we could probably do that better and pass good bits of loot between us. Like, I'm looking for something which does this, and if you see one, you could give it to me. But it doesn't seem worth the effort, does it?
No, I can't be bothered personally. For a 0.2% increase in damage on a specific person, it's like, no, just sell everything and just buy something later.
But I do like the variety in classes. I mean, again, it's not overly original. Like, it is different a little bit, but it's not overly original. It's the four basic classes. But I like them. They're nice. Can't complain. But, I personally, I'm playing a berserker named Fang and my pet deer named Gabe.
And I'm playing an outlander gunslinger named Velma, and I have a pet owl named Hedwig, because I'm original like that. Anyway, so the game is basically a standard dungeon crawler, so it's very much like Diablo, where you are going to be going sort of from a village of some sort where you'll be given some quests, and then you will go down into a dungeon style map where there will be lots and lots and lots of creatures to kill. They'll drop loot, all of it ever so slightly better than what you've got. And then you'll get to the end, kill a big boss, go back to the beginning and get some XP. So you get XP on kills, which will level your character up. And then you can buy these skills and things that John was talking about a minute ago. And then you put those skills in the hotbar at the bottom of the screen. And one of the issues I've had is that I inadvertently invested in bad skills at the beginning. I was like, oh that looks cool, rather than just increasing one. So I've got about 8 different skills, so in my hotbar, like numbers 3 to 10 are all different skills. I've got one on my right click button and I only ever use that, like a left click for attack my guns, right click for my power attack, and that's it. But there's no controller support, so I can't play with a controller, despite the fact I'll only use those two buttons anyway. And while a lot of games have like a respec option, so you can go and, you know, pay a fee and then you get all of your, say, 15 skill points back that you can then respend again, this doesn't. It only lets you undo the last 3 that you've bought. And I only realized that I'd invested poorly after I just spent my last 3 things on something I wanted. So doesn't really help for me that way. But I mean, it's a fairly standard dungeon crawler. If you've played Diablo 3, for example, this is pretty much exactly the same thing, but cheaper. not cheaper in terms of look as so much. I mean, it's a different art style, but cheaper in terms of it's obviously half the price that Diablo 3 would have been.
Yeah.
But it's still essentially the same game. It's, you know, not much more to say about it than that. It's very, very, very standard. I mean, you're probably better to talk about some of the more unique aspects.
Yeah, I think, just popping back to the many skills, I guess I'm fortunate enough to have a mouse with 12 different buttons on the side. So actually, I did get a better use of the skill set without having to use... I mean, I guess most people will use the keyboard because it's a traditional 1 to 10 boxes at the bottom and they correspond to 1 to 10 of your keyboard. So I guess most people are kind of used to that when you play this sort of game and are happy to have, I think, up to about 5 or 6 skills you can keep in your head pretty well. Beyond that, it gets a bit tough, but, you know.
Especially when there's lots of things around you. The problem I find is that some of them you have to be, like, standing still to cast them. Like, if I want to summon a zombie, that's number 3 on my keyboard. But often it doesn't work when I hit it, whereas my right click always seems to work, so I'm not sure what's up with that. But, I find it easier just to have like my... Well, it could well be my... always the Mac. I do have to... One of the running jokes we have with this game is that every time we start playing it, we'll start, and then about 5 seconds in, I'll be like, I need to plug my mouse in, because I'm trying to play it with a trackpad. As soon as I go to right-click, I'm like, this isn't working very well.
Yeah.
I think I played the first 5 hours with a trackpad, didn't I?
Yeah, and it was easy enough then to do that.
Yeah. And then when I realised it'd be much easier with a mouse, I got much better.
But yeah, I guess it's time to talk about a couple of the kind of core mechanics that set this game apart, maybe from Diablo. And the first one I want to bring up is you have a pet that follows you around, which is kind of cool. I like the character you get with having a pet. Maybe it doesn't play out as much as you think it will when you start. You think, oh, cool, I get to have a deer, a spider, an owl, one of 8 or 10 different types. And that's kind of cool picking it and then naming it. The pet has 3 inventory slots, so you can buff it up and it will join you in the fight, which I like. I guess
I have to say that mine seems to skirt around the edges of a battle and not really do much. I've not seen it do any significant damage.
Well, I guess I loaded mine up with a bunch of spells. So I know you're going to come onto the spells. Well, we'll talk about the spells in a little while. But because I've given mine like a fireball spell, a heal spell, and a summon zombie spell, it's actually able to do those things in battle. I'm not sure how much of an impact it has. It's really hard. It's really hard to tell how much of an impact I have in a battle with all the numbers flying around, let alone my pet. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of nice that you can load it up with some spells and it'll theoretically assist you in the fight. But perhaps the most useful thing, the most useful thing your pet can do is go back to town and sell all your shit. And there is a lot of that in there. So,
yeah, we'll come on to inventory management, but I would agree that having a pet, the most useful thing is that it can, A, it can go back to town and sell stuff for you, but it can also buy stuff for you and bring it back. Like, I don't know how an owl is flying back to town and then bringing back, you know, 50 bottles of medicine, which is what I tend to batch buy, but it works.
And I guess it's
a useful mechanic.
I think it's kind of cool as well that you can feed your pet fish and turn it into like a spider, or in my the last case was that half undead torso that was crawling around. It's kind of cool, you know. Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know where these magic fish are. I kind of want one now. But
I turn mine into a spider quite often, and it just sits there and just looks at a battle and just like, yeah, that looks fun. I'm like, you giant spider, get in there, be all like Shelob on it.
You can actually change the, you might not have seen the button. There's three buttons under your pet icon in the top left corner of the screen. You can change it from aggressive to defensive to passive. So maybe the setting is wrong. And if you put it to aggressive, it'll probably run off. I mean, mine gets in the fight all the time because I'm melee. You know, my berserker's always up in their grill. But if you're standing back and it's set to kind of mirror your movements, then maybe it's also standing back. So you might want to make it aggressive and just...
Do the pets ever die? I don't think they do. I've never seen mine die. Like, it doesn't have health, does it? It's not like...
You know what? It does have a hit point stat, but I've never seen it die. Maybe it gets like knocked unconscious or something and it just comes back at the end of the fight.
Because in Neverwinter Nights, you have you can have a familiar if you're a certain class, like standard D&D. So you can have a familiar in that, and you can also have a henchman that follows you round. But when they die, and then you have to go back to the temple and bring them back, and it's a pain, especially when it glitches like it did with us. But yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
The little heart thing went missing. But yeah, it's I've never seen, there's nothing of that in there. You don't have to worry about it dying and going back to recover it. But I think it does lose hit points and maybe just goes unconscious for a bit.
Okay. I suppose one of the other interesting things in this game, I'm not sure if it had it in Diablo, I can't really remember, is the idea of the socketables, which is basically that some equipment has basically one or more sockets on it, which you can then put certain gems or even eyeballs into, in the case of when you kill certain boss fights. And they give you like a little boost, so like you might get a giant's eye and that'll give you... I don't know, like +8 electrical resistance if it's in armor, or +5 damage if you put it in a weapon. The thing I didn't realize until quite late on is that the socketable doesn't do both the things it says, because it's I find the interface is quite odd because it's got loads of different colored text as well, which confuses me because I didn't really read it properly. All I saw was like electrical damage +15%, strength +5, and I was like, yep, that'll do. But it's different depending on whether you put it in armor or whether you put it in a weapon.
Yeah.
Gives you different abilities. So you have to watch out for that. And it gets irritating because you have to pay to remove an item from a socket if you want to keep it. Like, say you're going to sell the item because you've got a better one. Then you have to pay to get that item back out. And you can also pay to add sockets to items. There's a whole lot of customization in this game, basically.
I think I'm kind of torn on the sockets. I like the fact... I love customizing things. So I like the fact you can customize. But as we've sort of said a few times, there's so much stuff in terms of items that I don't know, you think I'm going to add a socket to this item, which is going to take some time and money. Then I'm going to place an item in the socket. And then I'm going to find a better item in 10 minutes.
And then also, there's already another system that sort of clashes with this in the form of enchantments, where you can pay a guy to basically give you some random stat boost. So, like, You take it to this wizard and he'll be like, okay, give me $5,000 in gold. So you give him some gold and he's like, okay, there you go. It does, you know, +8 electrical damage. Have fun.
It's kind of...
And that stays on it. And it's like, oh, why have you got both of these? Why have you got sockets and enchantments? And you can do both. And then it gets really hard because you've got like a really low level rubbish weapon, but it's got two awesome enchantments that you spent a load of money on and two sockets that you've put like your best kills in. And then it's like, oh, I don't really want to sell that just to replace it with a better weapon. And it's hard to then compare like for like. Is a weapon that does 50 damage, but nothing else, better than a weapon that does 20 damage but has a few extra spell stuff in it? It gets very difficult to compare like for like, really.
You end up with this weird dichotomy. I mean, I really like making... I think if there were... If you found... Like, nothing feels special anymore, unfortunately, no. Because you have all these... So many numbers. And I still... It's weird, because I do like games with numbers and maximising things and feeling like, oh, I got cleverer and maximised it. But because nothing really feels special, like you're not going to keep hold of it for more than 5 minutes, I think I don't want to invest time and effort into getting the best loadout when in 7 minutes I'm going to find 3 new items that I'm going to use.
Yeah.
So it's constantly just churning through items. Whereas if maybe I found a sword and I was like, this is actually an awesome sword that I want to keep for the next 2 hours of gameplay, then I would invest time into sort of putting sockets in it and making it even better and customizing how it works. Like in an RPG... like Dragon Age, that's the sort of thing I'd do. Like, oh, cool, I've got this sword and I'm going to use it for hours because it's awesome, so I'm going to put all these abilities on it and make it even better. Whereas in this, it's nice that the customization's there, but it's just more numbers.
Customization, what about the spell scrolls? I know you were particularly keen on them.
I really like that mechanic. It's so each character can have up to 4 different spell scrolls active at one time. And once you've activated it, you learn the spell from it, and you can remove it, but then you've lost the scroll, as it were. So once you applied it, it's permanent until you delete it. And then that gives you another ability, which appears, you can assign to your hotbar. So, for instance, my character currently has a level 3 fireball, which I don't use that often because I've got a big pile of abilities. But I do have a heal scroll, which is very useful, which basically turns mana into hit points. And then a summon scroll and a silence scroll. So if I'm fighting a spellcaster, I can suppress their spellcasting ability for 6 to 8 seconds, which is cool because you get to customize your character with unique abilities beyond leveling up. So if you've hit like a bit of a slump in leveling up, you can still customize your character.
Yeah, and this... Well, I mean, it's pretty much a running theme at this point. There's a huge amount of customization. Huge amount.
But I think this one genuinely adds to it because you get to have new powers that you can invest in properly. So,
and you can swap them out quite easily as well. I mean, if you can't swap them out, sorry, you can delete an existing one and then replace it, but you then lose the old one. So if you wanted to get rid of your fireball and replace it with like a summon zombie spell, you completely lose the fireball one when you put it in. So you can't just constantly be swapping around, say, 8 spells within your 4 slots. It's use it, and then you have to get rid of it if you want to put a new one in.
But yeah, I like it. It's a good mechanic, and it's nice.
And with this game...
Good that you can give them to your pets as well, because then they can support you in ways that they couldn't normally. So if you had a heal group spell, you can give it to your pet, and then every 60 seconds or something, he'll cast it. And it's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I really need to do that. I don't use the scrolls at all. Oh, there's too many inventory. before we get to sort of our likes and dislikes, I'll cover a few of the co-op like specifics in this game. Now, really, there's not really much to say about it because it's essentially exactly the same game. There's nothing different. I think you can have up to 4 players at once.
Yes.
But co-op mode is exactly the same as single player. You have the same missions and stuff. One issue, in my opinion, is that you do need a Runic account. They're the developer, in order to play it. So you do have to sign up for a free account with them. I mean, I don't think I've had any spam email from them. I know what you're going to say.
You've got to log in every time. Oh. That's so tedious. Let's have a quick half an hour or hour of Torchlight. Click, click, click. Log in.
Let me go to my password manager and copy and paste. I mean, I've not had any spam email or anything from them, so I don't really mind that much. But it's like, why do I need an account to play this? It's tedious, unnecessary in my opinion, but it is what it is. In terms of the actual gameplay itself, I mean, it seems to work well enough. I sometimes get a bit of lag. Usually John hosts the game and he's in Sweden and I'm in the UK, so it's expected that there will be a little bit of lag sometimes,
especially when there's like 100 guys on the screen.
And to be fair, I don't know whether the lag when there's 100 guys on the screen is because of the internet connection or because I have a Mac, so it could be both. The only thing I will say is that stuff isn't shared as well as it could be in terms of, like, I think Neverwinter Nights gets this perfectly, that every time one of you does something, like gets XP or speaks to an NPC, it happens to both of you, regardless of whether you're there or not. Like, if you've gone to separate parts of the map and you go and pick up a quest, then I get it automatically. In this game, that doesn't happen. You have to both go and get a quest, and you both have to go and turn it in together. You don't have to be there at the same time, but if you want to get XP or a reward, you have to go and turn it in yourself as well. Loot is separate for each player. So if you open up a chest, then a load of loot will pour out for both of you, but you only see your own loot. Mm. So that's nice. I mean, it stops a lot of, especially in Neverwinter Nights again, that isn't the case, and you have shared loot, which is a bit more difficult to manage, especially with four people, because someone will always come and take everything. XP, I think, is shared between you, like if you kill something together, but I'm not sure, and I couldn't find anything about it, I'm not sure if XP happens only if you both hit the creature and it dies, or whether you're sort of on the same portion of the map at the same time that you get XP. I think it's that, in that if you're in the same general area. Yeah,
it's interesting, because like we've had the situation where our XP's seem to go out like out of sync, as it were, where one of us gets half a level ahead and then the other one gets half a level ahead. And it's not the end of the world, is it? But it's a little niggle, because you're like, oh, we're doing the same thing. I mean, if you were three maps away killing some different beasts, then that would be fair, but we've never really split up. We've always just stuck together.
I think the first time it happened was because I died, and then whilst I was in the process of respawning, you killed the beast, and so then it was like, yep, you get all the XP, John. Well done for killing that beast single-handed.
I did all the hard work, you know. So.
Right, let's talk about our likes. What did you like about the game?
I mean, it's not like, ooh, massively pro comment, but at the same time, it's a good comment. Like, it's just good, standard dungeon-crawling fun. If you've... There's not a huge amount of it around. There's Diablo 2 and Titan Quest, and these are all old games. And if you think, I just want to scratch that itch and enjoy going around, killing hordes of monsters, picking up hordes of loot, and leveling up, then it's good. It's really nice because it has a linear leveling system. So you constantly get that ping. It's not like you have to wait longer and longer as the game goes on.
That is a really big plus in my book. Like today, we played it for probably about an hour and a half, and we leveled up 5 times, despite the fact we're already level 40. Mm. Whereas, again, something like D&D, you get to level 5, and then it's like, 2 days later, level 6. 2 weeks later, level 7. 2 years later, level 8.
So, do you remember what that leveling up experience is like? Because you ain't going to see it again. But yeah, it's really nice that, and it is, everything about it is fine or better. You know, it's like, nearly everything about it is like, yeah, it's good. There's lots of content, there's lots of things to do, and you get to enjoy it, and it's just good.
Yeah. One of the things I liked is that it's got Steam Workshop support, so you get loads of mods that are available there. Like, for instance, we were talking a while back about there's so many skills, and you wanted the ability to like hold shift and get an extra hot bar at the bottom. It was like a bit weird that you only had 10 slots. Well, luckily there's a mod for that that you can download, and you hold shift, you can hold control, and you can get like 3 or 4 different hot bars. So that's really good. I mean, I like it when there is... You know, you've got so many different ways that you can add to the game. Like, people will add extra maps or extra creatures or even extra classes. I think there are a few extra classes in there as well.
Yeah, because there's Batman, isn't there?
Of course. That's one of the top mods, is Batman.
Not a mod I'd pick, but great that you can add that content. I think it's really cool. And if you love the game, then you can find more content, which is nice. Mix up your playthroughs so you're not playing through exactly the same game over and over. But yeah, so I guess this kind of linked in with my previous point, but there's just a lot, which is cool. Like, there's a lot of content, there's a lot of monsters, there's a lot of loot. You feel like you're always finding something new. It's, you know, we just started meeting werewolves and these kind of weird globby creatures.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of character models in terms of monsters. Like, you're not going to end up with like six different, you know, there's only six enemies and you're going to just have hundreds of them. There is an awful lot of variety.
I mean, there must be like a hundred different monster models, right? I mean,
oh yeah, easily.
We're just constantly meeting new things, and sometimes there's smaller variations, I guess. Like, oh, this is a yellow or green pool of gel and gloop. But actually, there's a gargoyle, and there's a werewolf, and there's this and that, and some wizard thing. And it's like, yeah,
sometimes it's
endless,
irritating. Sometimes it's bad when you have like they use another character model, but that one's like a really bad version of it. Like, it has like a health bar. It's like a boss fight, but it's using the same character model, which is fine. But it's annoying when there's another character next to it. So we fought two wizards at one point, and one of them was just a regular wizard, and the other one was like a really bad one, but they looked identical until you put your mouse over to see what color health bar they had. A minor niggle, but you know, it's that kind of thing's a bit irritating. But it doesn't matter because they've got, as you say, probably hundreds of character models for it. So
yeah, and I really like the fact that it's just a lot to the game. I think it's really cool. And there's a lot of, you know, just actual content as well, quests and things to play through. But I think this also leads into one of my dislikes, which is while there is a lot of content and there's a lot to see and interact with, it doesn't necessarily have that much variety in the gameplay. I mean, yes, it looks different. It's a different type of werewolf, and it's got three different verbs underneath it, like, oh, it can fast move and it can do poison damage and electric damage. But in terms of how you play, you right click on things and you mash. You could basically write a macro to push 1, 2, 3, 4 on the keyboard every 10 seconds and click on the nearest creature, and that's probably exactly how I play. Regardless, every 15 minutes you find a creature where you think, whoa, he's actually going to murder me, I need to dodge his attack. But it's not, there's not much going on. And I guess this isn't, you know, this is fairly standard in dungeon crawler land. It's like, if you've got a well-specced character, you just do your thing, and you don't really have to worry about using a fire attack against the wizard or a lightning attack against the orc, because yes, it does 10% more damage or something, but it's very rarely enough to actually make you play differently. Normally you just spam the potion button,
essentially
spam your attacks on the enemies, and that's how you play the whole game.
Essentially, there's just no strategy at all. There's no puzzle sort of element to it, no deep strategy. It's very, you know, hack and slash.
And I think that comes from the too much of everything. There's too many numbers to actually have any control over them. Whereas in something like XCOM, where there's only going to be 15 types of enemies, you can start thinking, well, actually, that type of enemy can do this, so I better, and it's going to really kill me. You know, I've got two hits from that attack if it kills me, so I need to get properly out the way and attack it. But with this, you can generally take enough hits from things that you can just stand next to them, and as a melee character at least, and mash potion, mash special attack.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, my criticisms, I've got two, is one, the spells, there's just too many of them, I find. And especially because I messed up my leveling, I've got pretty weak spells that I use now, but I only really use one, which is a shame, because I would prefer it much simpler and to have controller support, because this is a kind of game that I could see being really nice with a controller. But because of the hotbars and so many skills that you can load in there, it would be very, very difficult to do that well. Especially with the flexibility that some people are going to literally go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 across the thing while they're casting spells and stuff. So that's a problem for me. The other one is just inventory management. I mean, this is, I kind of jokingly refer to it as like an Excel spreadsheet game, because it's very much a case of, we'll do 10 minutes of killing stuff and be like, yeah, this is awesome, this is cool, that was dangerous bit. And then you're like, oh, right, let's just wait a minute and load up our creatures with stuff to sell, because we can't carry anymore. Like, the amount you can carry is quite low, especially bearing in mind they have a huge amount of stuff to, that you pick up so much loot. And it kind of irritates me that with a game that has so much stuff going on, it doesn't have any sort of weight for items. So a single socketable item is exactly the same weight as a giant shield, for example.
Yeah.
And you've got like 20 slots for carrying stuff, and so does my pet owl. So you kind of think, I wish I either had a lot more space or that there was some sort of weight system so that I could carry more little things rather than having to constantly every 5 to 10 minutes just go, let's sit down while I give my owl all of this stuff that I don't want so it can go and bring me back 500 gold.
I mean, I would almost favour a tick box. The weight thing doesn't really bother me that much. I get this, they simplify it for the game, but I, almost like a tick box, you can check in the options, which says, if it's blatantly obviously worse than what I'm carrying, or something that I never want. I mean, every single hammer or two-handed sword that my Berserker picks up, because Berserker, I've got loads of skills based around having these kind of fist weapons, I just sell. I don't even look at it. I mean, ideally there'll be a button I could just click, and it's like, for all these things, just give me more gold. Just drop piles of gold instead of hammers. I'm not interested. I'm just going to have to go through this clicking process to get rid of them every time.
And it's irritating because it gives you a false sense of security, because you go through and just go, sell. I don't want any of this, don't want any of this. And then sometimes there'll be a real gem there, but you can't be bothered to compare it with what you've got and be like, okay, so it's got more damage, but on all these 20 other stats, is that one better? Is that one? It's really, really hard to compare like for like, because there's so much stuff that each one can have. So in the end, you end up just sticking with what you've got, and like every, you know, hour, maybe changing your equipment, because you can't just change it constantly. But I say that's the only negative. On the whole, I think it's pretty good. I mean, I don't think I've got any more to say about it really than that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it might come across as sounding a bit negative, because I guess we've kind of picked the holes in the gameplay that we've found problems with, and we've played it for long enough now that I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I've enjoyed it a lot. I want to get to the end of the playthrough, and I think I'll probably be done. Like, I'm not upset about that. It's like, I bought the game, I played through it once, 15 hours. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I'm not going to go back and play it like 5 times to get to the super hard difficulty or something, or play all the classes, you know.
It's hit your rule of it should be 1 hour of gameplay for each pound it cost.
Yeah.
It's £15 and we've got nearly 15 hours out of it. Well, I mean, I've got 15 hours for free out of it. But
that's a very good ratio for you, sir. But yeah, I mean, I guess my final comment is just that it's not massively original. It's got a few kind of cool things, like the Ember, you know, like visually it's got a few nice things and these little portal beasts and stuff, but there's not really much original going on in it. Not that that's a problem, but I guess I wouldn't go rushing to it for, I want to find out about the lore of this interesting world. You know, it's got some nice little things, and it's kind of interesting, but the real fun of it is just it's a good dungeon crawler. It's fun.
So in summary, it's a decent game. We'd probably recommend it as a co-op game, I think. I think it's a fun game for 2 to 4 people to play.
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely recommend it. I mean,
I'd recommend it as a single-player game as well, I think, as well. You know, if you're more interested in the story side of it, it'd probably be a great single-player. But for multiple people, I think as long as you're, you know, just running around and you know what you're getting into, standard dungeon crawl affair, it's a perfectly good game.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. Well, that sums it up for this week. We'll be back next week with another awesome cooperative game to talk about.